I Am the One Entrepreneur Edition is brought to you by Tri Business School. Get your free mini course, The Blueprint for Building a Thriving Business. Visit iamtheone.fm/blueprint to get access.
I'm Brendan Barrett, and I am the one.
Entrepreneur Edition, a show that explores the journeys of business owners who decided to be the one to make life better for the people they serve. I'm your host, Sonia Thompson, and today's guest is Brendan Barrett. Brendan is a master sales craftsman and has generated millions of dollars in sales revenues for his clients. He runs a sales organization in the civil engineering and construction industry, and as founder of Start in Phoenix, he coaches and consults with entrepreneurs and companies on how to generate more revenue through their sales processes. We can learn a ton from Brendan, in particular what he's learned about how to effectively manage client relationships. But before we dive into the interview, I want to let you know that this episode is brought to you by Tri Business School, which is all about helping you get the customers you want and keep them coming back for more. And to help you with that, I've got a free 5-part mini course for you, The Blueprint for Building a Thriving Business. The principles come from nearly 150 entrepreneurs, including a good chunk who've built multi-million dollar businesses. The framework is also overlaid with science-backed data that further helps explain why this methodology will work for you. So head on over to iamtheone.fm/blueprint to get access. All right, let's get to it. Here's Brendan. Hey, Brendan, thank you so much for joining me today. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. All right, well, let's go ahead and dive right in. Tell me about your business, Barrett Development.
So Barrett Development is my company. Most folks know me for kind of the forward-facing brand that is Start in Phoenix, which is kind of the content property owned by Barrett Development, if that's not too long of an explanation for you. A big portion of my business is marketing and selling the services of civil engineering and construction companies to public agencies, so towns, cities, counties, departments of transportation, Department of Defense, energy companies, private property owners, all of those folks, but very focused around the diagnosing, recommending repair, and actually the lifting and leveling of buildings, roads, utilities that may be sinking into the ground. So within the world of civil engineering and construction, we are geotechnical engineers and contractors. So that's a lot of stuff. The other part of my business is consulting and coaching folks on ways to market and sell their services, be they consultants, speakers, app developers, whoever. In some cases, I'm working as the coach or consultant, teaching them to fish so that they can operate more efficiently, or, you know, it's their first time in the world of running their own business and they haven't had to sell themselves before. They've worked as an employee before. They've sold themselves once and then their employer worried about keeping their pipeline of work full. And now they have that new responsibility as a service provider themselves. That's kind of what I'm doing these days.
That's a lot of stuff, and it sounds very technical.
It seems like a lot of stuff, but you get into it a little. You get into the pool just an inch at a time,
okay. You
know, and it just keeps layering on top of itself.
All right, so let's break this down a little bit. So tell me, what is the specific problem that you solve for the people that you serve?
So I match consumers, be they consumers or businesses, with people or organizations that can solve their pain or fix their problem. I sell sales. In the architecture, engineering, construction space, I'm educating engineers, personnel at public agencies, private property owners on how issues of structure movement could be can be first understood. So what kind of investigation, studies, soils testing is necessary to understand why the building is moving, why the road is sinking, why the utility is sinking into the earth. Then design, you know, how can be, once we understand that, what kind of solutions can be put in place, and then what does that process look like, and what are the steps that need to be taken. In the consulting, coaching, or lead gen space, which is a service I provide, it's more a matter of, again, teaching people to fish. Either they're struggling with a certain aspect of sales, they need tweaks to their sales process, or, you know, they know how to sell efficiently, but that's not something that they get really excited about. You know, they're an app developer or a speaker or a consultant, and that's their service, and that's what they're really good at, and they get excited and gives them energy. But the prospecting for new business, the making phone calls, sending emails, getting in front of the right people, or, you know, folks who seem like the right people, but until you have that conversation, you don't quite know, that kind of stuff sucks the energy out of them. And so for those folks, I can cue up the conversations that they like to have, the discovery phases with people who, you know, are qualified, meet their ideal buyer persona, and have a problem that they, as a service provider, can fix or solve. In some of those cases, I'm taking work off their plate so they can focus on what they're good at and most efficient at. And in some of those cases, it's to the point where I'm saving them not only time and energy, but a whole lot of money and their sanity.
Right.
Because, again, they can focus on the things they like to do and that they're really good at, rather than the things that, you know, maybe suck so much energy out of them that by the time they get to the stuff they do like, they're so exhausted they can't perform.
Right. All right. So what made you decide that you were going to be the one to solve this problem, these problems for the people that you're serving?
Well, it seems kind of conceited, but I mean, it's really simple. I realized how much better I was at some of these things than the people I was talking with, and how, you know, these things that I get excited about, that I consider sport, that I consider, you know, the best part of my day, the exciting, challenging part of my day, is the stuff that they absolutely dread. You know, coming up as a salesperson, I've been a student of sales and marketing and business, and I've had a ton of experience talking with people on the phone and navigating the prospecting phase of a sales process, and setting up meetings via email so that you can have a first phone conversation or have a first in-person meeting. And as a result of putting all that time in, I've gotten pretty good at it. I mean, there's no secrets in the world of marketing or sales. It's really a matter of having nuanced understanding because of being in the trenches, doing the things, and knowing when and where certain tasks, tactics, or strategies are going to be appropriate, and how they can be tweaked just slightly to work in one situation versus the next situation. And I'm not an all-knowing guru when it comes to sales and prospecting and queuing up sales conversations, but I've gotten good at it because I've put in the time. And again, because I put in that time and become so efficient, you know, I can provide that as a service, or I can teach other people to do it.
Right.
But at the same time, some people, you know, it doesn't make sense for them to become a salesperson. That's not who they want to be.
Right.
You know, as an entrepreneur or a solopreneur, it might be important that they have some selling ability. But at the same time, for me to do a couple hours of work for them every couple of weeks, or my team to do a couple hours of work for them every week or every month, it's accomplishing all the same results that they would have if they would have given it 40 hours a week.
Right.
You know, and so in that aspect, or in that sense, you can save them a lot of time, again, money, because, again, we know how to do it. I know how to do it more efficiently than they do. And they don't have to train somebody to do something that they themselves aren't quite that good at yet.
Right. All right, so let's switch gears a little bit and talk more about your experiences as an entrepreneur. So you've honed your skills very good in a specific area that a lot of people don't necessarily like. So that makes you a very valuable asset. But what would you say was the biggest barrier in mindset that you encountered as you've been an entrepreneur and that limited your success a little bit? And how did you overcome it?
You know, I've kind of dabbled in entrepreneurship even since I was a little kid. I mean, I was the guy flyering the neighborhood trying to get people to let me mow their lawns and pull their weeds.
Okay.
That's, you know, how I bought baseball cards and skateboards and, you know, everything else growing up.
Okay.
And then when I went to college, I went to a small school in Wisconsin, and there was a pretty big entrepreneurial kind of subculture kind of baked into the fabric of that community and that university. But through all of that and through that exposure, I was still kind of battling with, well, you know, what experience do I have? What can I do that other people can't do?
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what kept me from making the leap.
Okay.
When I quit my last job, you know, it got to the point where, you know, not that I wasn't in tune or on the same page with the organization I was working with as to where they were going, and I thought that was a great way of doing business. It was a matter that, not that we couldn't complement one another, but that our goals as individuals and as businesses, you know, if I think of myself as an employee, as a business of one, they weren't complete mirrors of each other. And so while we could help each other reach each other's goals, being an employee kind of was getting in the way of that. And then I finally made the jump.
Got it. All right. Now, what would you say, let's talk a little about your habits. Now you,
okay.
And cause I think habits is a big part of what makes you get so much done. I think you and I spoke a couple of weeks ago, and you told me that you can send more emails out before 9 a.m. than most people can do all day or something like that. Right.
Yeah.
So what are the specific habits? Cause that takes some serious discipline. What would you say are, the habits or suite of habits that you have that help make you most effective in getting everything that you get done?
You know, it's tough because when you think of habits, if it's really a habit, it's almost outside of your conscience, you know, it's subconscious. And, you know, being disciplined is one. I guess, you know, knowing what you have to feed into your system to get the results out that you're looking for is key. I think one thing that I've noticed as a habit is that I am most confident in my decision making and most confident in the activities that I pursue when it's a decision that I've made previously, before I was in the moment when the decision had to be made, when emotions are high and there's a lot of other things going around and conflicting with your ability to just process what's actually happening. I think because of that, I'm a very fundamentally based person. When I'm in the moment, I'm going to make this decision because I've calculated an if-then scenario on a decision I've already made. I don't have to worry about why I'm making that decision. That decision is already made. And when I realized that that was how I operated and I wanted to mimic that throughout all of my decisions, you know, life and family, friends and family, work, my business, friend relationships, journaling became hugely important. You know, I could put down my thoughts, I could work through the process, and then it's almost like an external memory. If I can remember that I've thought about this, you know, concept, I've made this decision, but in the moment when emotions are high and everything's going wrong, I might not remember what that decision is, but I can flip through my files of journal entries in Word documents.
Right.
And find that thought process work myself through the logic without having to do all the heavy lifting of that mental process again, find my if-then formula, apply it to the current situation, and then move on without having to worry whether or not, or have remorse over a decision, like, you know, buyer's remorse, things like that.
Right. No, that's good. And so I'm curious, how do you know which decisions you're going to need to make in advance? And how do you know how to think through that process? Because I totally agree. It's really helpful to kind of make your choices in advance, because when the situation arises, it makes it easier for you to decide what to do. But sometimes you don't know what choices you're going to have to make. So how do you figure out, like, this is something that I need to work out and to think through effectively? Because it seems like you're very thorough and you're very methodical in how you think about things.
I think it's a matter of giving yourself time to think.
Okay.
Giving yourself time, you know, because if you overschedule yourself, you're just acting and reacting in moments, and then you get caught up in those emotional scenarios where you're not thinking through things clearly. But if you do schedule in free time, you know, leisurely activities, or for me, like, I work from home most days. Unless I'm out meeting with clients, I'm working from home. But my little boy's daycare is 20-minute drive in each direction. So I have a 40-minute commute just to work at home.
Okay.
And that drive is awesome. You know, sometimes I extend it. I stop and get coffee. I interact with people at Starbucks to give myself that opportunity to think. You know, I also use that time to go through audiobooks, to listen to podcasts, and I love that time. And if I go too many days without it, you know, I see a difference in the clarity of my mental processes, my energy. So by scheduling that time, you know, if I don't have to take my little boy to daycare, I'm going to go for a walk to get coffee, just to get out of the house, just to get the blood moving, just to give me time to, you know, see what happens to pop in my head. I'm naturally a very reflective person, but none of us are all that reflective if we don't give ourselves space and time to have those reflections and have those epiphanies and jot down notes about, you know, if I'm listening to a podcast and I get an idea, I turn it off. I give myself space to have that thought, make my notes, return to it. I don't always process a full thought in one journal entry. I might have to come back to it 2, 3, 4 times over the period of days, weeks, months before I really decide. You know, I may have made a decision, but something else entered my conscience, and now I need to tweak my opinion on that fact.
Very good. No, I think it's a very important point, because I think sometimes we get, as entrepreneurs, we can get so busy doing things that you don't take the time, as you said, to think. But that's where all the creativity and the thinking about what it is that you really want comes into play. So I agree, it's super important. Now, you mentioned about journaling is critical for you in doing that. Do you have a certain time that you journal every day? Or is it more so about whenever, like you mentioned, if you're listening to a podcast and it sparks a thought, you stop it and write something down? How does that work for you?
For me, it's more about giving myself permission to journal.
Okay.
Because when you get, at least when I get cooking on a thought, I am on that thought. Like, and until I get it out of my head, I'm not going to be able to focus on anything else. And so there's times where it's tough. It's, you know, you're listening to a podcast on your way into a meeting with a client, and it's like, well, that was a great idea. Jot it down, come back to it. But if I'm working at home and I'm at the end of my day and I'm working on lower priority stuff that, you know, should get done today if I have time, could get done today if I have time, but, you know, I've got this idea that I need to work out, at least to a point that I can move past it and get some productive work done.
Right.
I give myself permission to journal about it,
okay,
to write it down, to get it out of my head so that I'm not consumed by it. I mean, you know, my partner hates this because I hop out of bed 3 times almost every night with ideas, because I lay down and my thoughts wander and I'm never going to get to sleep until I get them out. And
right,
again, sometimes it's 3 trips to my desk to jot down the notes so that I can go back to bed.
Right.
But that's some of my eccentric personality.
Whatever works, man, whatever works. All right. Well, let's talk a little bit about relationships. And you've got a very relationship-driven business, since you work so much with clients and you're doing a lot of outreach and things like that. How do you stay in tune to what it is that your clients and the people that you're interacting with on a regular basis need so that you can be adding value and serving them and strengthening those relationships on a regular basis?
It's really a commitment to genuine intent, honest conversation, and discovery in your sales process. You know, unless you're on the same page as the other person, it's hard to be of real, genuine value to them. The way that I look at business and sales is that, you know, every transaction should be, you know, yes, a trade of currency, but for value. In the B2B realm, that value is either saving somebody money or making somebody money.
Right, right.
You know, that's it's money in, money out. That's supposed to be the equation. In B2C, it's a little bit different. You can talk about, you know, the good feelings that it gives you and leisurely activity and things like that. So it's a little bit different, but you know, there's still an exchange of currency for value. And unless that exists, people shouldn't be making the exchange, making the transaction. And so not only does a commitment to genuine conversation and honesty allow you as a business owner, solopreneur, or salesperson gain insight to how you can best sell to somebody or what you can most likely sell to somebody, it gives you an idea of whether you should be doing business with this person in the first place. If you can't be of value, you know, you shouldn't be taking somebody's money.
Right.
If you can't create the wins and meet, you know, somewhere in the middle on common ground, you shouldn't be doing business with one another. And, you know, honesty and a commitment to honesty, a commitment to genuine conversation, and, you know, a commitment to integrity is what helps you do that. And, you know, if you're willing to turn down clients who aren't a good fit, you know, if you listen to them, you could help explain to them why you're not a good fit, point them in a right, you know, a better direction, and they're going to be much more appreciative of that. I don't know how many referrals I've gotten off of from turning down work, but it's way better than selling somebody on something that's not going to work and have to deal with the headaches after the fact.
Absolutely. Now, I you're at a point where you can turn down business whenever a client's not a good fit. And you know whenever this is going to be a bigger headache than it's worth, right? So what would be your advice to someone who is ramping up, they need the money, and they've got a client who they kind of have a feeling is going to be a bit of a headache, but they need the money. So how do you make that, what would your advice be in terms of when is the right time to turn down a client if it's not?
Well, I mean, dial back to your why. I mean, I'm never a big fan of having set rates, you know, for things. I mean, there certainly are businesses where a productized service makes sense. Mm-hmm. But in most of, with the dollar values that I'm dealing with, in most of the industries that I have a hand in, we're talking about very specific and customized scopes of work, scopes of service. And if somebody's going to require a lot more handholding than the next guy or most of your clients, that should be worked into your price.
Yeah.
I mean, that's part of your value. I mean, myself personally, like, I do provide a lead generation service. I manage phone campaigns and email campaigns to queue, you know, solopreneurs and freelancers up for sales conversations so they don't have to worry about making all those phone calls, sending all those emails. But part of that is doing stuff that some of them have never done before. They don't know why it works or how it works or what's a realistic expectation. And so teaching them the process and why we're doing that, that's part of my labor. That's part of my output. And
right.
I have to associate a fee with that. And for some folks, you're going to be able, you know, they're going to be okay with the price that you set for that. In other cases, if they're not, you know, you're gonna hate yourself for taking the work. You're gonna be upset every time you're working with them, and your service to them is gonna suffer. Plus, it takes away time out of your day that you can spend finding clients you are gonna enjoy working with and who are gonna appreciate the work that you do.
Totally agree.
So if you dial back into that logic and work your way out of why you charge a certain amount and how you got to that price, you'll come to understand what's worth your time and what's not, and what clients you should be working with and what clients, you know, you should point towards maybe a competitor.
Got it. No, that's a smart way to look at it and think of it. So thank you for that. Now, what would you say are your three keys to success?
I would say grit is certainly one of them. I think what Angela Duckworth talks about grit a lot, and one of her one of the aspects of grit that she considers to be so important is the ability to trade nuance for novelty. You know, a lot of times we get caught up in chasing shiny objects, and the people who get really good at anything, whether it's football, whether it's sales, whether it's golf, gymnastics, accounting, it's that they stuck with it and they continue to dive down the rabbit hole and find the ins and outs and turn over every rock to really understand it more than all the people around them. So that's certainly one of them. When it comes to business or sales, you know, genuine intention to help people and want to provide value, you know, I want my clients to have wins. Not only is it, you know, great for business and you get a bunch of referrals out of that and a lot of PR out of doing good things for other people or helping people accomplish their goals, but it gives, you know, it makes the work fun. It makes the work exciting. For me, that trading nuance for novelty also is fun and exciting. And the more you start to learn about something and connect the dots and teach yourself things that all the other experts out there can't teach you, because you've been in the trench longer than they have, that's exciting stuff. And, you know, I think you layer on top of that curiosity. You know, curiosity is going to give you grit. It's going to make you excited to chase the nuance. And curiosity and genuine intention is also going to help you peel back the layers of what's at the heart of your client or your customer's pain, and how can you expand upon what, the good that they're doing in the world or the good that they're doing with their business to help them, again, push the ball down the field and get closer to the goals that they're trying to achieve.
Very good, very good. Well, what can we expect to see from you in the future?
Ooh, all kinds of stuff. you know, again, I'm starting to ramp up and add quite a few clients to the lead generation aspect, or as somebody who came up in sales, I refer to it as prospecting as a service. You know, we're using mostly email and phone to queue up sales conversations or discovery phases, basically hand off the baton of qualified customers to solopreneurs, their sales teams, whoever, to then continue the sales conversation beyond, you know, our ability. You know, single person businesses, solopreneurs, freelancers, they're the best at selling their service. They're the most qualified to do it. I don't want to do it, but if I can help them, you know, stay within what they do really well, you know, having discussions and discovery phases with actually qualified folks rather than spending a bunch of energy on stuff that, you know, is going to exhaust them and keep them from performing in those conversations. That's what I want to do. And then, you know, for some people that makes sense. In other cases, you know, they want to learn how to do it themselves, or they're at a point where learning to do it themselves makes the most sense. Once they've learned a little bit more, then they can start to add to their team. Then they can start to build out systems so that they're not in the day-to-day thing, but they understand how the system works.
Right.
And so we're doing that. I've also got, well, my goal for the next 11 months is 100 podcast interviews. So this is one of those. And, you know, doing a lot of stuff on best practices of sales, best practices of marketing, prospecting, cold email, cold calls, all of the above, overcoming your fear of sales.
Right.
That's a lot of the stuff that we're focusing on here in the near future. And one of those is a 7-day challenge that I haven't quite released just yet, but there is a landing page for it. People can go over to startinphoenix.com/closebiggerdeals to sign up for the mailing list. And when it comes out, you'll be among the first to receive the scripts, the tools, the different processes that I'm using with my clients to generate business for my own business, in an efficient manner that will build and kind of snowball over time.
Very good. Well, so a lot of people will probably be able to definitely use that get over your fear of sales and all the information. It's so essential, but a lot of people just really shy away from it. All right. Yeah. Well, I'll have all your information in the show notes. And where can people find you? Should they go directly to that link? I'll have it on the page, but should they go directly to that link?
Yeah, for the 7-day challenge, again, go to startinphoenix.com. So start in Phoenix is abbreviated PHX, like Sky Harbor, our international airport here. So startinphoenix.com/closebiggerdeals, or you can just visit the blog at startinphoenix.com, or you can go to my personally branded site, which is just brendanbarrett.com, and all my content information is there.
Perfect. And again, I'll have all that information in the show notes. Well, Brendan, this has been super cool. Thanks for stopping by. I do have one other question for you to dive into your very thoughtful mind a little bit more, and that's to deliver a line from a movie that speaks to you and explain why you chose that one.
Well, I think I'm going to butcher it, but I'm going to go with Jerry Maguire. Help me help you, help you, help me help you. my hope for the world is that we can all just be people helping one another out, doing what we're really good at to add, a little bit of value and sunshine to everybody else's life. So, I think that quote is a humorous way of bringing that to light. So
it is. And like you said, I mean, business is about helping people and serving your customers. So sometimes you do need a little bit of help to be able to help them effectively.
Absolutely.
They have to be willing participants. Well, Brendan, thank you again. This has been a lot of fun, and it's been a joy talking to you.
Yeah, it was a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Brendan had so many cool things to share, but there was one thing that stood out to me in particular, and that brings us to today's I Am the One challenge. When do you give yourself space to think, reflect, and make strategic decisions? When you're constantly on the go, you don't always have time to think through options and make the choices that will make the biggest impact on your business. So what can you do to free up at least 20 minutes in your day to let your mind be free to roam? Think about it. And then once you've got your answer, head on over to iamtheone.fm/blueprint to get access to that free mini course, The Blueprint for Building a Thriving Business. Until next time, keep working on building your dream business so you can make life better. Somebody's waiting on you. Thanks for listening.